temperatures high at 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 56 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Yeah, welcome into this Wednesday at 1.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope everybody's doing great. Hope you guys are ready for another fun one here on the show today. We've got some more guests lined up for you guys. Like I told you, we're committed to continuing trying to get people on here, talk some football. We enjoy it. I know I definitely do, having somebody to go back and forth with. And then all the feedback we get from you guys clearly love it. So we'll continue to do that here on the Miller's Edge. Up today, we'll be joined by Roman Harper of SEC Network, former Alabama great, plus former Carolina Panther and Saint as well. Roman Harper will join us at 11:30 via the phone line, so make sure you guys are ready for that. We'll talk this matchup, Alabama-Oklahoma. And I want to get his thoughts just on everything about Alabama right now, just what we've seen out of this group over the last few weeks. It's been a few weeks since we've had Roman on the show. So, I mean, I haven't gotten to talk to him since things have kind of, you know, trended in the opposite direction for our offense. So I'm curious his overall thoughts. Plus, we got to get an update on his, I guess, grade for our defense. I know we talked with him earlier on in the season, and you know, he kind of was breaking things down for us in terms of what he saw out of this defense. So now that we've finished and completed this regular season, I'm just curious to get an updated perspective from him on that. So we'll do all that again at 11:30. Roman Harper will be joining us today. And then for tomorrow, not to jump the gun, but just while this is on my mind, we'll have Slade joining us again at the top of the hour tomorrow. Then before that, 11:30, we'll be joined by Rodney Anderson, former Oklahoma running back, who joined us last time we played Oklahoma. So we got to bring Rodney back on here, right? It's only right. Got to get his thoughts on. He's going to tell us kind of what the vibe is over in Norman right now before we head that way, which, matter of fact, the team will be heading there tomorrow, probably while we're talking with Rodney. So we'll do all that here on this show. Then Friday, we'll begin you guys ready for game day. Remember, 7 o'clock kick. Friday evening on ABC, man. I can't wait. I'm fired up. I'm excited for it. And I think it's going to be one hell of a matchup. That said, always got to remind you about our friends at the Good Feet Store. Make sure you guys go check them out right now. If you're dealing with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, they take care of it. So make sure you guys go check them out. If you haven't already, I'm telling you, these things are game changers. Let them take care of you like they've taken care of me for years now. If you're on your feet all day, you're walking around, you work out, all that stuff, man, I'm telling you, these things will be game changers for you. So make sure you guys pay them a visit. Walk-ins are welcome, but if you'd like to be a little bit more punctual, you're running on a short amount of time, don't worry, just go to their website, goodfeet.com, where you can schedule an appointment. You also can find the nearest location to you. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Just give you guys a heads up. I already told Chase, man, speaking of walking around and being on your feet, there's some solicitors walking around right now. So if we get a big interruption of dogs barking, just understand, man, and just prep for it. Hopefully I can try to catch them before they get over here while we're on a timeout. But if not, just know that that's what's going on. We just got some solicitors walking around, and it is what it is. Just want to give you guys a heads up before you hear several dogs going at it in the background. Chase, man, before we get to Roman, I hadn't really picked your brain on a number of this stuff kind of going on. I know we talked a little bit about transfer portal news yesterday. I know we're going to get to some press conference stuff, too, and I want to probably listen to that. Then we can talk about it, and me and you can kind of discuss it. But I know we've had Ryan Grubb now speak to the media, Kane Womack speak to the media, so I definitely want to dive into that. I don't know. Chase, did we get a chance to break down anything? Well, actually, we were talking about Kalen DeBoer's interview when we were talking about cutting it up, so that wouldn't make sense. Maybe we can try to, try to do that here in a minute. But I do know Ryan Grubb spoke, and there's a couple talking points I want to bring up. The same with Kane Womack. And there's even some from the Oklahoma side of things. They've been doing plenty of media. So I'll try to sprinkle that in. Probably be a little bit more the second hour when we get to that, because we'll have Roman at 11, probably be with him for about 20 minutes. And then we can take y'all's calls and go back to the press conference stuff as well. 205-342-9904 is that number if you guys want to jump in on the conversation, or you can always hang out with us on the stream over on YouTube. Completely free. We just ask you like the video, subscribe, all that stuff. If you guys enjoy the content at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, Also on Facebook at Tide 100.9. Very easy and simple to find. Come hang out with us. Come check us out. If you want to watch us do the show, all that good stuff. Put the press conferences and videos on the screen. You guys know how that go. That said, let's go ahead and hit our first timeout before we dive into things. When we come back, we'll listen to a little bit of a snippet from some of these press conferences before we get to Roman again, 11:30. So that'll be coming up in 15 minutes. And we'll dive into all things football with him. So don't go anywhere. We're just getting started right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts.
Cal's Country Buffet. And don't forget to save room for their delicious desserts. Happy holidays, and thank you for choosing them. Visit Chow's at 1100 Skyland Boulevard.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are
also doing a double jackpot up to $5,000. What they do that in? Bama Entertainment Holiday Extravaganza. Take exit 45 on 2059. Sponsored by Red.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Again, we will be joined by Roman Harper. Chase, I'm thinking wrestling right now. I about said everybody be joined by Roman Reigns, man. Definitely not that, but that would be dope. Maybe one day, probably not. I have no connections to Roman, but that would be cool. That said, Roman Harper of SEC Network will be joining us in about 9 minutes or so. So be sure to be ready for that. If you guys got any questions, you guys know the drill. I know I don't get to really ask them all the time, but hey, drop them in the chat. Maybe if we have a couple minutes, we can get to it. We might actually, though. I mean, because really, we're going to talk about Oklahoma, maybe a little bit on his thoughts on the overall season, and then might have a window to ask some of y'all's questions. So if you got a question for Roman in that conversation, man, make sure you drop it. That said, let's hit a snippet or so of some of these press conferences that have been coming out. I know I've got some that are already pre-cut up. Brent Venables was speaking to the media ahead of the matchup the other day, and I know he had a lot of praise for this Alabama football team, this offense. And so let's start with their side of things. Let's hear from head coach Brent Venables on his thoughts on Alabama ahead of this matchup, this playoff matchup this Friday in Norman, Oklahoma.
I did have our first playoff game ever here in Norman, Oklahoma this weekend against a great football team and program in Alabama. Coach DeBoer and his staff, again, have done a fantastic job there in 2 short years. One of the most talented rosters in the country, led by, again, Ty Simpson. Just a big-time player, great leader. You've got a really ferocious defense. Again, where they've they're been very, very disruptive all year long. Very, very well coached in all three phases. So, I got a lot of familiarity. Don't want to be real redundant. I just played these guys a couple of weeks ago and had a lot of great things to say. But man, it says a lot about, their football team, the injuries that they've had here this year and what they've been able to overcome and still be in the position there. And says a lot about their roster and certainly their staff. So I got a lot of respect for Coach and in their program.
You mentioned Ty Simpson at the top. He started the year really hot. He struggled a little bit in his last couple of games. What stood out about him when you faced him, and how do you sort of see him now with the full body of work?
Yeah, well, he played, really again, pretty good against us. Again, threw for over 300 yards. The first half, he had a lot of success. And he climbs the pocket. He's patient. He's got great confidence. He's got tremendous arm talent. He's a fantastic athlete. Great competitor. He's got a natural leadership ability. He's a guy that doesn't flinch very easy. And our expectation is we're going to see the best version, of Ty that's prepared, confident, and ready to lead his team. And so we're going to have to play better. And I know some of our guys have said that. It's not coach speak. It's being honest and real with ourselves as we had time to go back and just look at ourselves and where we need to improve and get better. That's the expectation. Our fundamentals, it's kind of where it all starts. And I don't think we played very well fundamentally. We played with great toughness and really good physicality. We weren't always the most physical team at the point of attack, but by and large, again, we played, with great effort. We just didn't always play or coach, in the cleanest kind of way and to our expectations. So what I can appreciate the most is the first day that I brought this to the attention of the team, after I had the coaches put their low lights together from the last time that we played, I thought our guys received it very well, hungry, driven, humble.
So there you go. That was Brent Venables talking about Ty Simpson, the job that he's done this football season, then going back and discussing, hey, they didn't play their best ball when they played us the last time, even though they narrowly escaped with the win. He said, hey, flat out, we put the low lights on the tape, showed our players what we need to get better at going into this matchup, and that's how they're going to address it. So, listen, that's how coaches think, and that's why I always talk about it. Like, sometimes when people think, oh, you're nitpicking or being critical, that's what I'm telling you guys. I mean, they won the football game. They had three turnovers for us defensively. We're over here on this side saying, man, they played some damn good defense. But you hear how he's talking. I mean, that's what you get, right? That's what coaches do. They're always looking for things that they need to address, and that's what they're going to do going into this game. That leads me to my question for you, Chase. And you're hearing him talk about, number one, he's definitely giving a lot of praise over here, but he's saying, hey, we didn't play our best ball. And I thought at least defensively, they played pretty solid. Now, we did see, the numbers that they gave up. He's right. There were some moments where we were moving the football on them. We were having success. And if it wasn't for some of those explosives that they forced, the turnovers that they forced, those big moments, could have been a different ball game. Does that make you a little, I'm not going to use the word concern, but when you hear that, you're like, dang, all right, man, listen, we're going to expect a team that's going to come out there that doesn't sound like they're going to be complacent by any means. You get what I'm saying? Like, the way he's talking, it's like, nah, they ain't even really pay attention to the good. All they cared about was the bad that went on in this game. Just kind of what were your overall thoughts hearing that from Coach Venables?
That just speaks to Brent Venable and how he approaches the game. I didn't expect anything less for him to harp on the good and what they did well against Bama. I think he wanted, like you just saw, wanted to figure out how can we eliminate those mistakes? How can we play complete football on the offensive and defensive side of the ball? And he's right, a play or two, and Bama only lost by two. Even with the mistakes on offense and the letdown somewhat in the second half of the defense, they were right there. And OU, they have where they want Bama, and, they're having back in Norman. They're used to the weather, and this is in their ballpark. So they've got to eliminate any distractions, anything that can keep Bama in. Because we've seen Bama when their back is against the wall. They come out swinging and they don't stop. They look a different team. And I expect that from Bama this on Friday. But to credit Brent Venable, he understands this is going to be a different team. To beat a team three times in a row is impossible, in my opinion. But I like Brent Venable and what he brings to the table. He's very informative. And you just saw that just now.
Yeah, nah, he definitely, he's a great football coach, man. I like him. You know, he recruited me when he was at Clemson. I got to really, you know, see more about him playing against him when I was here in college. And now he's a great football coach. But yeah, no, I definitely view it like, yeah, he's ready for a big matchup. That he's also self-aware enough to know, listen, it, as good as they played at moments, you know, with the turnovers that they forced, realistically was, I mean, Alabama was having success. And he's smart enough to know that his football team, they're over-relying on their defense. It is what it is. And it's interesting because they went from having a quarterback who at one point was a quote-unquote Heisman favorite early on in the season, gets injured, comes back, and he just hadn't been the same John Mateer that he once was. If they can find out a way to have more success offensively, to get more points on the board, to be able to move the football better, they'd be a much better football team. Because right now, I mean, they're heavy on the back end, right? I mean, like, their defense is really good, but the offense is stagnant. And I'll be honest with you, even with the challenges of going on the road and playing there, I'm confident that Alabama can win this football game. I know we talked about this, the turnover piece, but if Alabama can play much, you know, smarter football, protect the football better, I just don't know if I have the confidence in Oklahoma's offense personally to be able to score enough points to win against a team like ours, even though I know our offense hasn't been great. But I just have this feeling that our offense is going to be a lot better. I mean, you're giving Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb, I mean, they've got, what, almost 2 weeks to prepare for this game, and they need to be better. I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, areas of the coaching could be better offensively, and I think that's going to be the case. And he knows that. He knows Alabama's going to come out there. Like you just said, it's hard to beat a team. We know that. Even just twice as hard. So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. But just wanted to play that because he had a lot of praise for Ty. Talked about their process of, you know, their mindset going into it. So thought that was a good clip to play here early on the show. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll have Roman Harper joining us on the phone lines. We'll talk to him about this matchup, get his thoughts on Alabama overall throughout the regular season / SEC championship game and more. We'll keep on rolling after that. We'll get you guys on here. 205-342-9904 is a number as well. And plus, you guys mentioned, I forgot to earlier on, we did make a hire. We hired somebody from enemy territory. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I'll give my thoughts on it right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
Connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel. Finance agreement. 256 gigs. $830. Eligible port in a new line. $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Check out in 15 minutes or less per line. Visit T-Mobile.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Fire up the grill this summer with certified Angus beef, USDA choice grinds, only at Tuscaloosa's locally owned and operated supermarket, Piggly Wiggly, from fresh ground beef to ground chuck to the juicy certified Angus beef hamburger patties. You'll taste the difference in every bite. Don't forget the rest of the grill lineup. Fresh, never frozen chicken, quality pork cut fresh daily at Piggly Wiggly. Our skilled butchers cut and package meat in store every single day because fresh matters. Look for that certified Angus beef logo. It's your sign you're getting the best. Only the best make the cut. Just 1 in 5 Angus cattle qualify for the certified Angus beef logo. It's not just Angus, it's certified Angus. Fresh food, fair prices, down home, down the street. Piggly Wiggly in West Alabama. 5 locations to serve you. TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness, 303 Hargrove Road East, next door to the Tuscany Podiatrist, also across the street from West Coast Custom. They are now TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness. Same great customer service, same trusted ownership, just more convenient with a spot with easier parking. 303 Hargrove Road East. The compounding needs, the only sterile compounding facility in Tuscaloosa. Walk-in prescriptions are always welcome. Medicine on time, packaging, and all the compounding needs. It is TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness, 205-752-0627. If your pharmacist doesn't have an Alabama shirt on, you don't want him. TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness. Mark's Mark, downtown Northport, the high choice, which is top 10% of choice. If you're looking for that special cut of meat, maybe it's a ribeye, maybe it's a filet, sirloin options. More than just that, they can special order what you're looking for. Pork chops, they are home of the chicken swirl, salmon swirl as well. Twice baked potatoes, the local specialties, the casseroles, the dips, the appetizers, the dirt road casseroles, the poppy seed chickens where I love to go, but many options there. The cakes, the pies, the cheeses, the local seasoning and the dairy products that are made right here in West Alabama and Pickens County. You can find that at Mark's Mark in downtown Northport under that Roll Tide Bridge, 205-710-5636. Mark's Mark in downtown Northport and in Selma since 1978.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We're talking Alabama-Oklahoma playoff matchup this Friday, 7 p.m. Central Time kick, and now we'll continue the conversation with our good friend here on the Miller's Edge, Roman Harper, Alabama great, former Panther and Saint as well, now with SEC Network. Roman, man, welcome in, brother.
Christian, man, thanks for always having me, man. I'm glad this time worked out, so... I'm headed to go play some golf. I missed your call a little second ago, but I left something inside and I was dropping my daughter off. So just on the go, brother, man.
Don't,
but
don't
football's on the line. I'm happy. Thank you.
Yeah, man, listen, don't you apologize. I feel bad. I'm messing up your tee time, so I'm not gonna hold you long, man. I need you to go out there and hit it straight and do your thing. Where are you playing at? Are you back in Charlotte?
Yeah, I'm here in Charlotte, man. I'm playing at Carmel Country Club with a friend of mine. He's a member over there. And so he lets me out there every now and then. And I haven't played in over a month. So low expectations, but I do have expectations, which is probably dangerous.
Well, I'm sure you're better than me. I probably go through about a pack, not just like the small three-ball pack. I'm talking about the whole case of balls when I'm typically out there. So,
I am definitely better than you. I am definitely better than you. And I don't plan on doing that today. But the thing is, though, Christian, let me tell you about golf balls. I buy them to lose them, dog. I don't. I'm not beholden. I ain't married to none of them things. I play them to lose them, dog. That's got to be the mindset. You can't be worried about that.
Hey, trust me. I've gotten accustomed to that over time, man. I just learned golf is an expensive habit for me. more so because of the golf balls that I lose. So we can all agree on that. Well, I don't want to keep you long, Roman. I wanted to get you on here because we hadn't talked in a minute. And I wanted to get your thoughts, of course, on this matchup this Friday. We know how big it is. First round playoff matchup. But also, I hadn't talked to you in a minute, so I hadn't really gotten your take on just how the season went. You know, I know we talked early on in the year, especially before, and when you're heading to SEC Media Day, and now we've had a whole body of work in place. We know Alabama went 10-2 in the regular season, earned a trip to the college football playoffs, but also the SEC championship game where, you know, to put it, you know, quite frank, we got our ass whooped. But, hey, we at least made it, so we're trending in the right direction. We've dealt with injuries. Our offense went from looking like that S-Class, you know, 2025 Mercedes to now about that 2005 Mercedes that people try to drive around to flex, but it's got all types of check engine lights on and needs a whole bunch of oil treatment, all everything under the hood. What have you just kind of gathered from this Alabama football team? What are your overall thoughts from the 2025 season so far, Roman?
Now, Christian, now you gave me a lot right there, but I'm going to dissect it for you. Number one, the SEC championship game. You can look at that as two ways. Yes, they got their butts kicked. But I'd also say they're the same team that was down 14 with the ball and momentum on their hands with 7.5 minutes to go, right? About to try and put yourself in position to maybe go score and make this into and put some real pressure on Georgia for the first time. So, like, that part was part of the game as well. You can't always just determine just a final score. And a lot of people say, oh, well, they got destroyed, this, that, and that. That's fine. But I do know what that game was and what at certain points when all of a sudden Alabama had a little bit of energy and momentum, it felt a little different. But that was too late. In championship caliber games, you got to come in with the right energy early. And Georgia had that. So you give Georgia all the credit in the world for winning the game in which state they did. All right. You're talking about a 2005 S-Class. Or you know, number one, I still have a 2005 SL, okay? And that was my rookie car. And it is still clean, baby. When I bring that thing out, it's a lot of people on the road that wish they had that, okay? And the same thing I tell my kids. Yeah, the Christian, hey, I said this was top-of-the-line luxury in 2005, baby. This was top-of-the-line. I know it doesn't have Bluetooth and all your other gadgets that you used to have in the Wi-Fi, but that thing was top of the line. Heated seats, leather seats, all kinds of bells and whistles in that 2005. So it's not a bad car. It can still get you to the finish line because my Mercedes can still go 120 if I need it to. And so it does need to be cleaned up. And the thing that I think you need to get cleaned up the most as far as when you're going against this Oklahoma team is the pressure packages that Oklahoma threw at you when you went to empty personnel or when you were in these passing downs. They were blitzing Kip Lewis, number 10. He had 2.5 sacks, I guess, versus Alabama. A true game wrecker. You got to understand body types and what Oklahoma and Brent Venables are asking each body type and each individual to perform. They're going to window dress. They're going to show you a lot of different looks and formations defensively. But when you motion as much as you do, sometimes not only is it indicator for Ty Simpson on what they're running, but it's also indicator for the defense on when I need to get ready to go and blitz. So it's a two-way street on that, Christian. You know that very vividly. And so you got to understand the things that you're going to be doing. I would also suggest what I learned from versus Georgia, I would not always be on the defense if I'm Alabama's offense. I would go more 2 minute, no huddle. I want to be on the attack every third or fourth series. Let's go out there and try and make them, because you can't be as fluid defensively when you go no huddle. We all know that. We're not saying it dumbs it down, but they do simplify because you just want to get guys lined up and get ready to play. So that's another way to kind of counteract teams. If teams are starting to throw a lot at you, you need to go no huddle and all of a sudden make them defend themselves. That's what I would say, and also the protections. If you keep Ty Simpson clean, Alabama, overall offensively versus Oklahoma, they got a lot of things that they liked in that game. They need to do more of that because guys came open late when you actually had the quarterback. When the quarterback, if he would have had time, and if he would have got the protection the correct way, you would have had time to deliver to open receivers versus this Oklahoma secondary. It's going to be a great game plan, and overall, how does Oklahoma generate more offense? Because to me, that's the real key, is can Oklahoma generate some explosive plays themselves and get themselves going offensively? Because that's been the most lackluster part of any phase of any offense in this matchup.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we were just mentioning that before you hopped on about Oklahoma's offense. Just personally for me, they just don't have that spark, you know, and that's just kind of holding them back from a lot of things. And until they figure that piece out, they've got an uphill climb no matter how good that defense is. But you're exactly right in terms of the pressure. I mean, I thought Georgia did the same thing. They continuously brought pressure. We didn't handle it well. And, it leads to turnovers, bad decisions, and just ultimately don't move the football nearly as well as we did earlier on.
And Christian, I don't want to cut you off, but
no, go ahead.
I would also say Georgia played better than Oklahoma did up front. I remembered Oklahoma beating Alabama worse than they did up front. It'd be interesting if our Mason Thomas comes back healthy. How much added juice does he give Oklahoma's edge pressure? Because all the pressure versus Oklahoma came up the middle with Kip Lewis and everybody blitzing from second level guys, whether it's the nickel, the outside corner, which Ty Simpson has to be able to read that into the boundary. Look at body language. I was around Drew Brees for 10 years of my career. So I got to see an elite quarterback get protections right all the time because of body language. He knew what guys were doing. He looked all the way out to the corner, and the corner looked like they were leaning. They weren't playing a normal corner position level-wise or where their stance is at. Packer the whole thing all the way out to him. He's in the count now. Like, that is how you do it. And understand if you do get it wrong, where are the weaknesses at? But I won't allow certain things. I can't lose the same way. That's going to go on coaching and execution when you play a team the second time. And I give Georgia credit because Georgia played more man-to-man coverage versus Alabama in the second matchup than they did the first matchup. Kirby Smart also said, you know what? If we're going to lose, we're going to lose on our terms. And we will not let Ty Simpson be comfortable. We're going to blitz him. And we are going to rush him. We are going to throw more and more bodies at this man because Alabama's lack of run game versus Georgia, he knew they couldn't run the ball. And he understands that that is the quarterback's best friend and can alleviate pressure. So I want to turn the pressure up. And if they can't turn around and hand the ball off to alleviate pressure, then we got him. And he understood that, especially when they got the early lead from the punt block. Kirby just turned it up more. And I applauded him after that. Me and him talked about the game plan afterwards. And we also, and I mentioned this on my show, SEC Nation, multiple times how Georgia's secondary play, how they have improved in the secondary, playing more man-to-man coverage and challenging guys early and often in routes. And that is what has allowed Georgia's pass rush to get better and their whole defense as a whole to be better. And he alluded to that as well.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And that's what stood out to me in that Georgia matchup in the SEC championship game was that, like you just said, they had all of our routes were, first of all, they're playing top down, and then they had everything strapped up. They played a lot of man coverage. We couldn't get much separation, and it was allowing those guys up front to get home. They're running different stunts and bringing different looks. And I thought it was a defensive masterclass by those guys. But let me ask you this, Roman. You just talked about all those challenges that we've seen and how it's been successful. And we know that this offense now, I mean, 4 or 5 games in a row now, I'm not going to count Eastern Illinois. This offense, man, has been out of whack. Maybe not your 2005 S-class that's beautiful, still shined up, and still running strong, but maybe like some of these other ones, man, where that light is blinking and that thing is struggling to keep going. How do you see Alabama having, you know, close to 2 weeks to prepare for this matchup? Do you think, and I know you mentioned it, you know, the coaching, you know, they can do some things, I agree 100%, to kind of help out and really, you know, get that pencil sharpened up. How confident are you that we can see a resurgence in this Alabama offense? Because like you said, we're going to need it when we travel to Oklahoma, and not just in the passing game, but also in the running game, knowing how important that is going on the road.
Yeah, you know, and they ran for 100 yards in the first matchup versus Oklahoma, which and for Alabama, that is a great game running the football, how this team has been not able to run the football all year long. And also, that 2005, it's got original first-year Forgiato rims, too. You know, they don't even make those anymore. Three-piece back in the day. That was like new money. You know, it spent a little differently back then.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Christian, so, you know, I would say the biggest thing with Alabama, it's health. They have to get healthier. Connor Brelsford looked healthier versus Oklahoma than he did versus Georgia. That was a deciding factor in that Georgia game. Georgia put a big body over him. and he's already a smaller center. He's a good center, but he's smaller. And so when he's not healthy and can't push off that ankle and be able to anchor down when you get bull rushed and you get thrown around more, that's not good. He's also better on the move as a center, and he can't move with a messed up ankle. So health for this team of Alabama. Getting the tight end Quavis back, I think he could be one of the most important guys, if not the most important guy, because of how tough he is. He's a great option in the pass game. And he was actually the lead receiver for Alabama in the first matchup versus Oklahoma, making guys miss, getting crucial third down conversions when maybe Ty Simpson would get, sprinted out of the pocket. He'd get pressure out of the pocket. Quavis working his way back and getting first downs and crucial catches that way. So being that outlet and your quarterback's best friend, I thought the tight end position also played a big factor in the Georgia game versus out with Alabama as well, the last time we seen this team. Not making excuses, but just stating facts here. How, like, all of these things played into what Alabama has looked like. Health is a big concern. No team is as deep as they used to. And when Quavis is not there, you're going to now true freshman. It's just a big drop off in experience, strength levels. When you're going against a 24-year-old, 23, 22-year-old, and shoot, COVID kids now, so 27. These kids are old now. So, versus an 18-year-old, that is different. And so, like, these things really start to stand out when I'm watching these games, and Alabama has to get healthier. Having Jam Miller back, like, all of these pieces help because they're better at pass protection. Alabama went to using just a tight end versus Georgia just to be able to help in pass protection, because we're telling everybody in the stadium we're not running the ball.
Yep.
We are throwing the ball. We just need this guy, this body type, to be able to slow down the pass rush so our quarterback may have a chance to complete a pass.
Yeah, absolutely. We're joined by Roman Harper. Hey, Roman, I got one last question. I promise I'm going to let you hit the links and go knock him out.
Nah, bro, you're good, man. I'm not even there yet. You're fine. I'm about to be there a little bit.
All right, good deal. Well, because I wanted to ask you about the defense, because we ain't even talked much about the defense, and that's a good thing, right? Because that means they're doing a damn good job. And I want to get your thoughts, because I know when we talked last time, we talked about some of those, concerns sometimes, giving up some of those explosives. I guess throughout the course of the year, it kind of shifted a little bit, saw a little bit more explosives on the ground. But that was really the first half of the year. I would argue last half, I mean, they've been one of the better teams at stopping the run, and statistically across the board, they've been a really sound unit. So what are your overall thoughts, Roman, on how this Alabama defense has performed in this 2025 season?
Number one, I thought they've been the reason why Alabama's been in all these games.
Mm-hmm.
As Alabama's offense has struggled the last 4 to 5 weeks, Alabama's defense has been the reason why they've been in games. I would also say this, far from perfect. And so how much more juice can you squeeze out of the orange? I think it's a lot out of this defense. You look at versus Georgia, you gotta hold these teams to field goals. Keon Sapp has to be lower, and he can't go in front of that Dylan Bell touchdown to make it 14. You gotta stay on the top side shoulder, my boy, and keep running with him and staying low. You have, like, these quarterbacks are throwing you the ball wrong. You gotta stay attached to the receiver in the red zone. You gotta find a way, Christian, as you've been in enough defensive meetings, to impact the game on the plays that you get to impact the game. You don't get to control if the offense throws an interception. You can't control that. What you can control is go lining up and forcing the team and holding the field goals. Ray Hubbard, who, when we all know, in goal line safety right there on the edge on second down, and I'm calling out big name guys because they can handle it. I'm counting on these guys. They're the older guys, the senior guys. You can't mess up. When you got a freshman going in the wrong gap and chasing quarterbacks, you expect that. I got to have the big boys be perfect in the playoffs. That's how important it is, because you don't know what game or what play it will cost you. All of a sudden, they get play action away from you, quarterback's back turns away from you. You have nothing to do with anything going over there. Your only job is to get the first one to the flat, back to you, first action back, or if tight end is up the field, then you have to get him. But no, you already had the safety with you. So that means Keon Sapp has first safety up. You got first one to the flat. Your eyes are looking on the wrong place, and all of a sudden you get a guy to the flat. Whether the quarterback runs in it or not, I know if he throws it in, it's your fault. If he runs it in, that's somebody else's fault. So it's Bray Hubbard's fault. he's got to be better. He's too good to give that up. And so these are the margins that I'm talking about. We give up 14, but really we should have been 6. And
that's
it makes
it
just that much closer. And so now you don't lose by 21, you lose by 13.
Yeah.
You know, it's every single bit. And then the game feels different. More pressure each time you drive back. It's all of these little things, intricate details that are winning and losing football games, especially for championship quality games. That was an SEC championship game. You don't get to go play your B game and win. That's not how football works on any level. As far as championship caliber football is what we're talking about, which is the playoffs. I played in a lot of playoff games. The best thing about playoff football, Christian, and I know I got to go here, is that it's not about the best team that wins. It's the team that plays the best that day. And so I've been in playoff games and I've won them. And I'm like, how the hell did we win that game? And I've been in games that we lost them. And I'm like, how the hell did we lose that game? And so that is playoff football, and that's what you get. And so to me, that's what I love about it the most, and we get it in college football. And that's also the best thing, because if you just get hot and go on a run, you're fine.
And that's true.
A lot of these teams, because all the teams in the playoffs right now, they have holes in their game somewhere, and matchups will matter, and what team gets hot and fills those gaps will be the ones that get hot, and all of a sudden you make a run. It's why Ryan Day still has got his job. They were ready to get rid of Ryan Day last year.
True.
But they won a championship, and so he's there.
Yeah, and then I say it all the time, man. All the little nitpicks and things people, you know, bring up, man, winning cures everything. And this team goes on and wins it all. They'll forget about Florida State. They'll forget about the Oklahoma game earlier on, and everybody will be celebrating. Great way to end that, man. Well, Roman, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us, man. I know you got a busy day out there on the course, man. Hit them straight. Enjoy it, because I'm sure you've got a busy weekend with all the football that's going to be being played. So enjoy your time, and I appreciate you jumping on here, man. It's always a pleasure, brother.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, bro. Thanks just even having me on, as always, dog. You know, we always have a good time, and I appreciate you letting me ramble.
No,
this,
man,
is just like a
warm-up
for me. This is practicing before I get to the game. This is easy.
You don't need, for you. You're the best of the business, brother. Come on, man. You say you need practice.
Man, never
that. Nah, for real. Nah, I appreciate you, brother. Seriously, man. Have a great rest of your week, man. We'll talk soon, bro.
All right. Bye.
Yes, sir. We'll see you, brother. Good deal. All right. We got to hit this top of the hour break, man. Big thanks to Roman joining us. As he likes to do, like he said, to warm up, get ready for the big things that he has this weekend. You know, Roman does a great job, SEC Nation Network, all that stuff. His work with Cole Kublik, man, best in the business, man, when it comes to breaking things down, the entertainment factor, man. Love when we get him here on the show, man. Great, great dude, man. Seriously, really authentic guy. I always appreciate him. We got to hit the top of our break. When we come back, we'll respond. So I want to get y'all's thoughts on everything Roman had to say. Plus, we'll continue listening to some of these clips from these press conferences, hearing from both coaches, players. There's been a lot of media that we got to catch up on. We'll do that. Hour number two. Plus, we'll take some calls. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lohengrin.
In the NBA Cup Championship game on Tuesday night, the New York Knicks defeated the San Antonio Spurs 124-113. Spurs led 94-89 after three quarters, but the Knicks outscored them in the fourth quarter 35-19. OG Anunoby led the Knicks with 28 points. The NBA concluded Tuesday that officials made three incorrect calls in the final 2 minutes of Denver's overtime win on Monday against Houston. All three incorrect calls went Denver's way, prompting Rockets head coach Ime Udoka to say of the officials,
"It's a poorly officiated game I've seen in a long time. Two have no business being out there, and the crew chief is acting starstruck."
Notre Dame junior running back Jeremiah Levin out.
"A celebration? We've got you covered. Learn more about private party packages, hours of operation, and when Santa will be here at holidaysontheplaza.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration,
We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
MensClinic.com and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to PrimetimeMensClinic.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewsportsMedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewsportsMedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A pleasant afternoon, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 59. Becoming cloudy tonight, a chance of showers after midnight, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy with occasional showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Tomorrow's high at 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 59 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Arch Sport Expert just got done chopping it up with Roman Harper of SEC Network, former Alabama great NFL legend. You guys already know who the man is, but big thanks for him to join us here on the show on the way to the golf course, man. He's about to go let him rip over on the golf course, but he had some time to hop on here, talk some ball, and glad we got to do so. Talk a little bit about that SEC championship matchup, what Alabama needs to do moving forward for this playoff game and what, some stuff we probably could expect. So let's dive into it, and I'd love to get y'all's thoughts on everything we just talked about. 205-342-9904 is the number. We're open on the phone lines if you guys want to do that, or just drop it in the chat, man. You guys are always welcome to do that, or an app message. Don't forget about that Tide 100.9 app. You can download that completely free and leave an app message as well. Matter of fact, let me refresh the feed. Nope, we don't have one just yet, but if you guys want to drop it there, I got it loaded up for that as well. That being said, Chase, let's talk a little bit about what we just heard from Roman, man. Really good stuff. We just talked about it during the break. You know, one of his nitpicks for the defense, especially coming out of that SEC championship game, you got to hold teams to field goals, which the positive is Alabama's defense has done a really good job of that this season. I don't have the stat in front of me. You guys know me. I'm not a statistician or whatever the word is, and I don't have that right here. But I can just tell you off the eye test, Alabama has done a nice job of holding teams to field goals, whether it's LSU, whether it's going back to Oklahoma the first time. The only touchdown they scored, right, was when they got the ball in great field position on our side of the field because of the fumble on the punt. Ryan Williams, he fumbled the football, and it led to John Mateer. He broke some tackles in that game, or on that play, I should say, and scored. Outside of that, I mean, Alabama's been solid in red zone defense. SEC championship game, we just went back and watched it here on the stream, right? The one that Roman was talking about, undercut by Keon Sab, that's third and goal. You get a stop right there, that's 3 points instead of seven. The Bray Hubbard one, you know, bad eye discipline. The guy sneaks out to his flat. That's his responsibility. He's not there for it. Touchdown. That was also third down. So the difference between 7 and 3 points, man, can definitely be huge. Definitely could be a factor in this game. But we were talking about Alabama's offense. And a lot of people have been mentioning the whole tempo aspect. We've talked about it on the show, and Roman also agrees. That is something that could be big in this football game, or really in general for Alabama's offense moving forward. Let me ask you this, Chase. I mean, when you think about it, wouldn't you agree? Alabama, this, at least earlier on in the season, I would say we had one of the better two-minute, you know, hurry-up type offenses, right? Especially before the half, just think about it. I mean, how many times were we put in positions where we get aggressive, we're calling timeouts, trying to, you know, force a stop defensively to get the ball back, and then we just go, you know, march right down the football field and put points on the board. Kind of interesting when you think about it, how successful it seemed that we were in those situations versus just kind of periodically throughout the game, just trying to just run our regular offense. So I definitely think, I mean, something they'll consider doing in this game. I feel like we hadn't seen a whole bunch of it, even though we've had struggles for quite some time now, but maybe we do finally see it in this matchup. I think it, listen, I mean, Roman and everybody that's mentioned it, it's definitely true. And I'll tell you from a defensive perspective, tempo does disrupt things for a defense. The communication changes, right? Like, it's a little bit, and it's different when you're going into a game planning that way. Like, anytime we played a tempo team, we always, our strategy to that game defensive was always very, I wouldn't say simplified, like he said, you wouldn't say like dumbed down, but you have to make it concise, right? Matter of fact, I reposted a video yesterday because people are like posting these videos of like these coaching clinics and stuff like that from like, you know, Coach Saban, Kirby Smart, Dan Landing, and I've been reposting them because it's literally all the stuff that we used to do and talk about. So I think it's cool that you guys can hear all this. But speaking of that, I reposted one on our X account at the Miller's Edge. It's Dan Landing talking about why they've kind of gone to these one word calls, and that's what we used to do, right? I mean, you take a call, literally the full call might be base, you know, base strong three auto check dot mod, but we just call it bass. Like, that's an example of one that we used to have. And so that's something the defense can do to try to help, you know, counter some of that tempo. Just one word calls, you can get it in quick, and everybody already knows what they're doing. When they hear, like when I heard bass, I already knew bass equals base strong three auto check dot mod. And so that tells, that dictates the front, the coverage, alignments, all that kind of stuff. So understand, like, it's not like, okay, all of a sudden you go tempo and defense is like out of sorts, running around, like they don't know what's going on. It makes it even more critical that they have stuff like that involved. That way they can be prepared for it. And I'm sure they probably will anticipate maybe some of it just in case, but I think it could definitely be helpful. We'll have to see though. Roman also mentioned something that I think might be one of the biggest keys in this game, Chase, and we hadn't talked too much about our keys, but we can start doing that now. And we talked about this, right? The pressure that Alabama has seen. And I've been talking about this problem, like Tia mentioned, even last year. I mean, it's And a lot of offenses struggle when they face pressure. But you got some that are able to kind of counter that, just like T also mentioned. Like, yes, you know, if you get too aggressive on defense, just like anything else, I mean, high risk, high reward, right? I mean, if you get too aggressive and you're not getting home, that leaves your secondary vulnerable, and it can lead to explosives. But I would argue we haven't countered pressure well at all, and that's why I said even earlier on this year, if teams want to slow down this offense, they got to pressure Ty Simpson. And that's what we've seen. You know, Oklahoma, we saw it out of LSU, saw it out of Georgia. And that's another big reason this offense has kind of hit this point where they're at. We've got to find a way to counter that pressure. And we have not found an answer for that yet, just like Roman was talking about. We didn't have a great answer for it in any of those games. And the SEC championship also definitely wanted an answer. And you got to figure something out. And that's why watching the SEC championship game, I was surprised we didn't try to work the perimeter a little bit more, even like simple stuff like screens. I know it feels repetitive and redundant, but when teams are being aggressive like that, man, like you've got to find ways to keep them true and honest. I just don't think we've done a good job like that. That's why sometimes when people are too critical on a quarterback or a running back, I don't care if it's this year, last year, whatever, I always look at the whole picture, because there's always things that you can also do to help these guys out. And I personally just don't feel like we've done the best job at that. Hopefully we can be better prepared. If we go back and turn on this Oklahoma tape, man, I mean, I'll show you. I mean, what they did was, you know, they forced a lot of those issues. They forced a lot of those turnovers. Now, there was times that we did move the ball in that game, but, you know, those big moments in the game came from when they brought pressure. They had guys dropping underneath, guys cutting defenders, and they do just a really sound job of getting the looks that they want up front. They take care of things on the back end, and they always are having underneath defenders that are cutting and taking away those shallow, you know, kind of check down type things, which forces a quarterback to hold the ball longer, which allows their pressure to hit home. Oklahoma just, it is what it is, man. They've got a damn good defensive minded coach, and they execute extremely well. They fly around, and I mean, like you mentioned with that Kip Lewis guy, I mean, the way they were using that guy is impressive. And even just looking at some of their personnel, I want to say they have a guy that interchanges. That's almost like could be linebacker / safety hybrid, but I want to say he's like 6'4" and some change. Maybe he's a bigger player, but they work him out. He plays in the apex. And I mean, when you have like flexibility like that and personnel that you can, you know, do different stuff with, which is what they do. I mean, it gives them a lot of options. So to me, Chase, when I look at this matchup, man, these are the main keys that I think will be important. First and foremost, what I just talked about. Finding a way to neutralize that pressure. You've got to find a way to neutralize that pressure in this game, because that's what caused so many issues when we played them last, and not just them, but all the other teams we just mentioned. Two, we just talked about it as well, right? Being able to come up with, you know, in the red zone, I think that's huge. Those critical moments like field position is big. If you like, not even just the Georgia game, but really a number of games that we've had this year, field position has been an issue for us. We have not done great in the field position battle, and that's got to change. But I'll be honest, defensively, man, we talked about it last time we played them. I mean, literally, their offense consists of quick passing game, RPO. John Mateer is going to, you know, pull it. He's going to run it. And then you'll see Sartega, if I'm saying that right, that receiver heavily involved. Screen game, getting him the football. He's probably one of their better playmakers on that offense. And I thought we did a pretty solid job. I don't think they have that spark offensively. Like, to me, Chase, I feel like this is probably going to be a low-scoring type game, right? I mean, I'm thinking probably like, and I don't think either team probably scores over 24 points. And really, I would argue, if we do a better job with the field position aspect of things, I would argue that their offense isn't going to even, I mean, listen, they scored, was it 23 points last time? Well, let's just look at it. They scored 10 in the first quarter, 7 in the second, and 3 and 3. And I want to say, and again, I don't even remember exactly the flow of the game, but I mean, a number of those points, if not majority of those points, 7 came from an interception. It was a pick 6. So you take that away, they really only scored offensively 16 points. And then let's take away another 7, because that one, again, they scored. I'll give them their credit. But they got the ball like on what, like the 30-something, on our 30-something yard line, whatever it was, from that fumble. So then you're left with what, 9 points or so, 3 field goals? You know, I mean, defensively, I mean, I think you feel good going into this game. It's just offensively, man, you got to find a way to counter the pressure. You got to find a way to get some type of running game going again, like you did in the first game. And I'll be honest, like even Roman also said, those explosive plays, like where have our explosive plays gone? Chase, I don't think I've seen an explosive play on our end in weeks, man. Like weeks. And there's been some opportunities, but we haven't capitalized. Got to find a way to get something in there. If not, at the end of the day, we're just going to see the same old thing that we've been seeing. You'll see teams that don't respect our running game. They're sitting back. They're playing top down. They're going to give you the underneath routes. Just anticipate making good tackles like Georgia did, and you're not going to be able to move the football great. Then you're going to be limited on what you can do trying to get explosive plays down the field, and you're not running the ball anyways. So then you're just stuck. One-dimensional, and that one dimension is not really working well. So that's got to be addressed. But the positive is, and we'll end this segment on this, like Roman said, man, it's the playoffs. It's a new season. Everybody's had some time to kind of get their legs underneath themselves. Everybody's had time to get a little bit more healthy, go to the drawing board. And that to me, I think should honestly work really strongly in our favor, Chase. I mean, I feel like our coach have been the best offensively in the past few games, but I'm confident that having this amount of time, I would be shocked if we come out Friday and offensively, and I'm not talking about just like the execution, I'm talking about even from like a coaching standpoint, play calling standpoint. If we don't look much more compared than much more improved than we had looked over the past few weeks, I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm going to be highly disappointed, personally. That's just my opinion. All right, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. We'll get to some of these press conferences and more. Phone lines open 205-342-9904 if you guys want to jump on there. And we'll keep on rolling right here on this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
On his phone and that sound, that's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A pleasant afternoon, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 59. Becoming cloudy tonight, a chance of showers after midnight, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy with occasional showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Tomorrow's high at 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 59 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. I know there's a couple other little already clipped up things. I'd almost rather do that. That way we don't have to worry about trying to skip through it ourselves. But here's one that's already clipped up. You got Oklahoma's offensive coordinator showing some praise to a couple of our guys defensively. So, hey, let's get started there. We'll start that with our little run of press conference stuff. So here's Oklahoma offensive coordinator Ben Arbuckle showing some praise as Alabama defense ahead of this matchup.
Bray Hubbard, I mean, he kind of shows up all over the film. He's an awesome player. They ask him to do quite a bit of stuff, and he doesn't turn anything down. And linebacker Lawson, he holds it down there in the front seven, does a great job in the box, does a great job whenever it's pass of getting out and just finding his way into throwing lanes. And that's the case for a lot of the players they have, but those two really stick out in my head as guys that just, you know, they're asked to do a lot and the coach has trust in them. But again, they try to put you in some really tough situations and their guys go around and fly around and execute it. So they do a great job.
It's a lot of praise from their offensive coordinator, a couple of guys on our defense. Speaking of some guys on our defense, I will say, I told you guys not long ago that didn't anticipate LT being back for this game and probably, you know, still being out for some time. So I think he's officially ruled out, if I'm not mistaken, on the injury report. But nonetheless, Kelby Collins is back. You'll have, you know, Jordan Renaud, and I heard Kane Womack yesterday. I'll try to find the part, but just talking about the number of different groupings that you can come up with. And that's what I was mentioning, even, you know, when it first happened. Jordan Renaud, definitely going to be the first one in line behind him. You'll see some Kelby Collins / Keon Keeley. But then also, depending on the situation and what they might be trying to do, I mean, sliding a guy like James Smith over to play that 4-eye technique even maybe a five at times, right? Depending on kind of what you're trying to address or what you're getting thrown at you, wouldn't be a problem. That's literally exactly what he said that they planned on doing. So, again, defensively, man, looking at this, and I forgot to say this when we talked about some of those keys, capitalizing on the turnover opportunities, right? Having those, you know, couple throws that Mateer, you know, almost gifted you. You got to come up with those and really just trying to continue to do a good job stopping, you know, his legs, right? When he's involved in the running game, that's a big one. And other than that, really just, man, you got to tackle a little bit better, right? A lot of the quick game, they're just dumping it off quick, screen game, all that stuff. They're trying to just, you know, pick you apart and move down the football field that way. You know, they don't really have a whole bunch of explosives to their game. But Mateer, you know, while he is a little inconsistent, he's going to have some throws that do leave you kind of like, wow, you know, he just doesn't do it really on a consistent basis. But we'll see. Maybe he's had some time to get a little bit healthier as well and see how that can make a difference for that Oklahoma offense, who desperately is trying to find a little bit of a spark themselves. Speaking of offense, let's jump back over to our side of things. Our offensive coordinator was talking about our offense and maybe some ways to get some of our guys more involved in the offense. Ryan Williams being the player we're talking about here, which I think they've got to find a way, especially as we're trying to find our own spark offensively. Me and Slay, we broke down some tape yesterday. If you go back and watch, one of the only highlights from the SEC championship game offensively really was what Ryan Williams was able to do with the football after the catch. That's his God-given ability. He might be struggling a little bit with his hands or drops. It is what it is. That's, you know, part of the position at times. But the ability to make plays with the football in his hands, that has not gone anywhere. And you've got to find ways to not only get him involved, but keep him involved. Because I think, number one, it gives you some spark. And two, it probably will build his own confidence back up, and maybe it'll help get him back on that trajectory that we need him to be on. So this was Ryan Grubb speaking about Ryan Williams yesterday and how he can help get him more involved.
I mean, I think all the guys that are, you know, touch players, they can get the ball in space. Certainly Ryan is that kind of guy. Now you got to have all the compliments to go with it. He certainly is a guy that can hurt you down the field as well. And those are the things you got to try to, you know, paint the picture for the defense of what you want to do and where you're going to get the football. But Ryan can get it now at the line of scrimmage in the backfield. He can get it down the field on the post route. So those are the things that, you know, the intermediary routes and things like that, I feel like, you know, Ryan, when he's playing his best, is in all those positions.
So there you have it. So it seems like he's also well aware that, hey, we probably need to find ways to keep getting Ryan Williams a football, which I definitely agree with 100%, man. You got to get your playmakers the football. No matter how you got to do it, you got to find one way or another. He also had a remark that he made. It was about the offensive line. It was interesting, but I'll get to that here in a second because I don't have that pulled up. But we do have him talking about the status of tight end Josh Cuevas, who Roman also mentioned being a very important piece for this offense. Let's see what Ryan Grubb had to say regarding him.
Josh has been a huge part of the offense all year. So, you know, for us, just, you know, the run game, pass game, you know, everything he can do is critical. You know, we've missed him, his leadership, you know, his presence on the field for sure. Just playmaking ability, catching the ball, breaking tackles after he gets the football, which he certainly did, you know, last time against Oklahoma. So he's been looking great. And we're excited to have him back out there.
Definitely think that could be a huge pickup or return for this offense. Last time these two teams played, like Roman mentioned, Cuevas was, I believe, the leading receiver in that game. Had a number of really, you know, big plays in the game, breaking tackles, making guys miss, and really just kind of being that security blanket for Ty. And I think that'll definitely help this offense continue to work to get back on track. But in terms of other guys making some returns, Jam is you know, working his way back. I still don't know how healthy he'll be in this game. I mean, just watching that clip from practice, he still looks a little gingerly. So I'm sure he'll probably be available. I just don't know to what status, but this was Ryan Grubb's remarks regarding Jam.
Yeah, Jam's always got a fire. But yeah, he looks great. He's out there running around today. Did an awesome job. Feel like he'll be full go, ready to contribute and help us keep rolling again.
So very brief there, but they're excited to get him back and see what he can do to help provide a spark. And in terms of sparks, well, that's what this offense desperately needs right now. So this was Ryan Grubb in his response to getting this offense back on track, who, again, at one point in the season was one of the better offenses in the country, one of the most explosive offenses in the country, definitely through the air, maybe not so much on the ground, but definitely had a lot more success in the first half than the back half of the season. So this was Ryan Grubb on how they need to get the offense back on track.
Hey, Ryan, to get the offense back to where it was when it kind of was at its peak this season, what do you think needs to happen?
Well, obviously, we've got to get a rhythm early in the football game. We're capable of that in the SEC championship. Besides taking a knee at the end of the half, I think we ran 19 plays in the first half of that game. Nine of them were runs. We just weren't effective at all. So it starts with just, you know, moving the chains on third down. I think, simply put, you know, those are the things that we did really well early in the season and at the midpoint when we were on that four-game run against some tough opponents. And the consistency in that is we're more than capable. We got great kids that play hard, smart, and they're more than capable of getting that done. So excited about the challenge.
So there you have it. Definitely more than capable, and he's excited about it. And that challenge will be, well, not far out, about 2 days. And I was about to say 48 hours plus another 6.5 was at 54.5 hours away. So we'll find out then if this offense has had enough time to get back on track. We got to hit a timeout to stay on track. When we come back, we'll keep rolling. We got Smitty on the phone lines. We'll hear from him, 205-342-9904. Plus, we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs, Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear.
Options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are 9. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We've been listening to some of these clippings from the press conferences. That way we can kind of just navigate through them, hit some of the key pieces. And before we hit the phone line, just one more thing. Talking about offensive line, got some questions there, which I'll say this, my assessment, I mean, offensive line play, you know, has been decent for sure. You know, I think, you know, their protection this year has been better than what we've seen in the past couple years. I know it's still been musical chairs, and there hadn't always been consistency with the group in terms of trying to get the right guys, the right pieces in there. But, you know, I would argue that in terms of keeping the pocket clean, consistently they do a pretty solid job. There definitely has been some leaks here and there, and there's going to be some times, you know, tackle gets beat, right, by speed rush, whether it's the left side or right side. It happens. But for the most part, man, they haven't been playing very bad at all. And I think the biggest thing is they just got to, again, just try to find the right guys and get those guys playing with as much consistency as possible. Then even in terms of, like, the, you know, the run blocking, finishing blocks, that's really one of the biggest things that we've seen from the group. So to me, I think there's a lot of things that you can clean up. I mean, I don't think that group's ever going to be perfect just because I don't think the personnel will allow for it, which is hard for any group to be perfect. But I definitely think there's some room to play even better and to get more out of those guys. So hopefully we can see that. And this is a quick little clip of Ryan Grubb talking about his offensive line and what he wants to see out of this group in this matchup.
Elite communication. The best communication they've had all year. That's what it's going to come down to, because in the first game, they did a good job of that. We had 2 negative yardage runs, which were actually gains of 0. We talked about that before. The sacks came on lack of communication. And, you know, one of them really was probably Ty could have got out of his hand. But, you know, ultimately for us, it's just going to come down to those guys communicating and everybody being on the same call.
So communication being a big piece there, as he mentioned. And remember, this is a good Oklahoma front that they'll be facing, one of the better fronts, definitely in the conference, in the country as well. So hopefully this offensive line can put together a pretty solid game. Like they had the first one, again, like Roman mentioned, they rushed for, before you, net-wise, it ended up being around 80. But before that, I think it was around 100 yards. So one of our better performances against a good group. And like you mentioned, man, communication, and like I'm seeing on tape, I would definitely say finishing blocks would be huge for this group to have some success up front, which would be big in this game. 205-342-9904. Let's jump to the phone lines. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian?
Man, I can't complain, bro. What's up?
Man, first things first, before we talk about Alabama, how happy that you are that you know your Panthers are playing my Bucks and Dave Canales is your head coach. How happy that makes you feel? He was laying over his head, by the way.
Brother, I'm just happy that we're playing better football. I mean, we're not perfect, but I mean, we're winning some football games. And I think if you're a Panthers fan or got any type of ties to them, that's about all you can ask for. I don't expect us to, you know, win any crazy playoff games just yet. But hey, we're on the right track, man. And it's feels pretty good. But, you know, it is what it is, man. You get used to it.
Just be in the mix. Just be in the mix. That's all I always say. Just get in the dance and see what happens. And like with this game here, I remember Bud Elliott was talking about his show. And I remember I went to that game where it was Clemson with Ohio State beat them. And that was the year before I went and they got screwed. But I remember watching it and they were saying like how Ohio State, the second time around playing against a Venables defense at Clemson, that they got out of the huddle faster and snatched the play faster. So he couldn't get a good look at what they're doing. Cause he is so good at that. And I think that's stuff that Alabama should really do with stuff like that. And also, maybe do what Georgia did against Alabama. Move the pocket some as well. And not just have Toppy stationary against all-out blitzes all the time. I just think the thing is also, they actually ran the ball okay. Of course, the backs missed some holes, but they ran okay. And I think what happens is, winning and losing. Sometimes when you win, it covers a lot of holes up. When you lose, sometimes it seems like a small hole is bigger than what it actually is. But it shows that you don't have the margin of error. And I think what Alabama has to do is get out ahead and make Oklahoma play from behind. You gotta treat Oklahoma like Iowa. You gotta get ahead of them 2 scores and make them play from behind. Because Mateer is going to give you some. Every game this dude played in, healthy or not, he's going to give you some interceptions. You just got to catch them. It stops Tanya from running that slant. That's the play they're looking for. I will make someone else on that offense beat me besides Tanya.
Yeah. I mean, then he was their key guy last game. I mean, you go back and look at it. He had a 4 receptions for 26 yards. Some reason I felt like he had way more activity in that game, but they definitely want to move the ball through him. I mean, he's one of their better playmakers for sure. So, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I personally think he's kind of like that player, that screen game they worked him on. It was credited for a rushing attempt, but they're trying to, you know, he's a playmaker. He's the guy that they're trying to get the football in his hands. I literally think if If you can contain Mateer with his legs and then do a good job on Surtain, and then like you said, capitalize on the turnovers, I think defense will be just fine. And then that's why you're also right in terms of starting fast. Oklahoma's not built to be playing from behind like that. Their offense is not dependable when put in a position like that. So that will be big, and we'll see. Not going to be easy to get to a fast start necessarily like that, being on the road, a little bit more tough with those factors involved, especially early on. But, I mean, if you can help try to take, you know, some of that life out of that crowd and deflate them a little bit, definitely will help us out.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, with the receivers, right, these guys sooner or later will have to make a contested catch, you know. And Ty got to throw it up sometimes as one-on-one. But you got to make contested catches. But I also think with, like, our receivers and everybody on offense, special teams, whatever, this might not be the game to try to fight for extra yards, because every time that last game, they were doing a peanut punch, trying to knock the ball out. Sometimes just possession is the most important thing, not trying to gain that extra 1 yard. Just go down. Sometimes it's best to go down when they got you, because these guys are looking to rip the ball. But it's also incumbent on these guys to be strong with the ball in their hands too.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's why, I mean, listen, our skill guys got to help Ty out too. I mean, I think everybody has something that they can do a little bit.
Have to help
better,
out.
Right? Yeah, I mean, like, even go back to the Georgia game. I mean, listen, all the attention was all how bad Ty played and, you know, we didn't run the football and all those things. Yes, I mean, those are valid points and you know, observations that we all can agree on. But I also would argue that there's a couple throws that Ty made that, I mean, could have made changes in the game. That one to Ryan Williams, I know there's pretty good, you know, coverage on Georgia's behalf, but, I mean, at the same time, the ball went through Ryan, you know, it went through his hands. And, you know, with him being the playmaker that he is, man, you expect him to be able to reel those in. That one that Horton had, you know, earlier on, again, good coverage on George's part. Not saying it's like he was just wide open. I mean, he had somebody in there trying to break it out. But a big, strong, he said, like the contested catch, man, he's a big, strong, physical guy, man. Like, he got to find a way to reel those in. If those guys make those catches, I mean, even those little things, you know what I'm saying? Like, most quarterbacks are like, now think about all the highlights that you see. How many times is it like, you know, is it either the receiver or is it the quarterback? Like, it's always normally a balance. Sometimes these big highlight plays, it's a good throw, but it's really the receiver making it happen. We need our receivers to step up and be those guys. That would help us out tremendously. I just feel like we haven't seen a whole bunch of that. And there's even been times that the ball's been in great spots too, and they don't even make that one. So, see, everybody's got to up their game a little bit.
I'll say this before I run. Thanks for taking my call as always. The thing is, every ball is not going to be perfect. Right. Sometimes the quarterback got to make you look good. Sometimes the quarterback got to make the offensive line look good. But sometimes that those receivers got to make that quarterback look good. Like that Ryan Williams play he talked about. To me, that's ball skills.
Yep.
And, yes, you could throw a screen pass to the guy he made people miss. But you making your money, and if you want to play in the league and make your money, those are the plays that they paying you on. Not throwing your screen pass. Because if that was the case, they could pick you in the fifth round for that, you know, just being real.
You're right. But this is what I would say, Smitty, though. My thing is, you know, even whether it's a screen or what, I'm just saying, you find ways to get him the football. Yep. And not just, like, there's so many things you can do, and I mentioned this, but, like rub routes, like little things that you, like,
get
that are guaranteed. Like, hey, you know, exactly, scheme them open, right, that you know is a guarantee. Get somebody to run a clear-out route, whatever, hit him, boom, underneath, and just let him work his magic. I mean, you'd be shocked, man. I mean, like, I guarantee you, if you find ways to have more of that in the game plan, I'm telling you, he's going to make guys miss. He's going to break. I mean, like, and it's going to, those can be, you know, changing moments in the football game. I just think we got to get back to that. Like, we haven't really done as much of that. I get that he's going through a little bit of a slump, but to me, that's like, man, you can't completely just not involve, like, that Auburn, you know, game plan. And
that was bad.
Yeah. I'm like, you can't just not have anything. I'm like, you got to find at least something, bro. Like, If everybody else was eating and we're throwing for 400 plus without him, whatever, all right, maybe. But I'm like, bro, we're struggling right now. Like, you can't be too stubborn, man. I just personally don't think that's the right move.
And you know what, Christian? Sometimes you just got to throw a deep pass. Hey, you one-on-one, just throw it up. Now, listen,
when they're in that three high look, I would be careful.
You can't do nothing there.
Yeah, right there, be a little careful. But you're right. I mean, just try to do something to keep the defense honest. That's the thing. I just, like, those little details that we're talking about right now, I just feel like haven't really been showing up. And it makes the defense's job much easier to defend. It makes the defense have the ability to play much more aggressive. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's why I'm saying you got to throw these little wrinkles in. You got to do these things to help keep them true and honest. Recently, they hadn't been that good. I mean, that's why Schumann, that's why these guys, LSU, bro, they're just sending heat because, I mean, why wouldn't they? I mean, where there's not a true deep threat. Like, I know Tia brought up the whole point about, you know, taking advantage of pressure. When have you seen us get pressured and then we hit, like, some long shot and some long deep ball on somebody because they got aggressive? I don't really – nothing's come to my mind like that. I mean, we've probably done it, but not, you know, frequently. You know, but that's why, to your point, that's why you do have to challenge teams like that. You got to at least – even if you – like you said, even if – whether you make it or not, hell, you might pick up a pass interference call.
Bingo. Right?
That might happen. Or you're at least kind of putting it in their head, hey, man, you're keeping them honest. I hope, you know, I agree with what you're saying. I hope we do see some more of those little details and those little wrinkles, because I think it could help this offense a whole bunch.
And thanks for taking my call. And by the way, Ty has to not be afraid of turning the ball over. You're going to have to let it rip sometimes, because if he's scared to turn the ball over, you're going to not be performed to your standards, if you get what I'm saying. Because if you're scared to make a mistake, you're going to make a mistake.
You're 100% right. I just get worried about – there's a little balance with that. And while I agree 100%, like they always say, like, if you're over here worried about getting hurt, that's typically when you get hurt. Yeah, but I'm thinking of is, I'm like, man, the way these dudes play, man, I'm like, you definitely want to try to have confidence, but I'm like, Smitty, you got to be careful trying to force stuff in with these dudes, the way they disguise and stuff. Like, man, just make sure you're seeing what you're seeing. If you're going to do that, please don't. Because I'm telling you, that's what they're hoping on in this game. They're banking that, hey, if we can force some more turnovers and force some bad decisions, we'll be okay. We know our offense. They know their offense ain't all that. They can force those turnovers, they feel confident. So just got to be a little careful. But I agree with what you're saying. I definitely, hey, the mindset is correct.
You have a good one, good brother. Take it easy.
Yes, sir. Always, Smitty. I appreciate you, man. You too. All right, let's hit this quick timeout. We come back. We wrap things up on this Wednesday edition. We're not done yet, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back for one more segment, and then we'll roll on out of here and pass on over to Wyatt.
Christmas shopping begins and your holiday spirit feels right at home.
Holiday hours Monday through Saturday and Sunday 1 to 5 at Northport.
Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A pleasant afternoon, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 59. Becoming cloudy tonight, a chance of showers after midnight, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy with occasional showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Tomorrow's high at 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 59 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we only got like 2 minutes left here. So, Chase, we never hit the news on the new hire, right? So we've been talking so much about this game, which, hey, rightfully so. I mean, it's coming up. We needed to catch back up on it. Tomorrow, we'll talk more defensively. Kane Womack spoke. We'll probably just listen to the whole interview. We'll have plenty of time to do that. We do have some guests lined up. Excuse me, so be prepared for that. We got Rodney Anderson, former Alabama... Excuse me, back up. Hold on. Flag on the play. Rodney Anderson, former Oklahoma running back. He'll be joining us tomorrow at 11:30. Then we'll have Slade jumping back on around top of the hour. And we'll keep breaking this down. But real quick, well, I only got a minute or two to talk about this. We did officially make the hire to replace Coach Shep, who, as you guys know, he was hired to be the next head coach at Oregon State. So we found his replacement. And I actually think it's a very solid hire. News came out yesterday that Alabama is set to hire former Auburn offensive coordinator going in enemy territory and hiring Derek Nix as the wide receiver coach. Now, he had served at Ole Miss prior. He was there for a long time. He has experience, a lot of experience as a running back coach, some years as a wide receiver coach. I believe once Lane Kiffin got there, he transitioned from running backs to wide receivers. I think he was responsible for Elijah Moore, who I think ended up being an All-American. I think several, you know, 1,000-yard receivers and whatnot to his credit. While he was at Auburn, he wasn't coaching the receivers. He was actually the backs slash offensive coordinator. That said, I think it's a really good hire for several reasons here. Number one, I look at it as a guy who's got deep ties, not only in the SEC, but in the state of Alabama, right? So that's always huge. I think that's important. People talk about Kalen DeBoer's ability to recruit and why they're doing well. Again, not to take any credit from him because he does a great job for, you know, for his role. But I'm just going to tell you guys the way it works is, I mean, you got to have the right people around you. That's just a fact. And a guy like this is the right type of guy that will help you continue to have success recruiting, you know, these areas, these parts, right? Alabama, Louisiana, Florida, Mississippi, all these, this guy's, he's been doing it. So I think that's a big get there. He's got experience calling plays, working as an offensive coordinator slash running backs coach. I know he's not working in that role here, but best believe when these guys sit around a round table and they're meeting, right, as coaches, it's always good to have an extra set of eyes and ears, especially with guys with different backgrounds. I mean, you got Nick Sheridan on staff, who was serving as, you know, co-offensive coordinator. He spent time as a coordinator. Whether you, you know, think he's a great coordinator or not, the fact that he has that experience, it always helps the group as a whole. And I think that's what you're getting out of a guy like this. In terms of development for receivers, you know, I think it's pretty solid. I wouldn't say it's probably like, you know, the most extensive background. But listen, in today's day and age, half the time that's not the biggest thing anyway. And at least he does have experience doing it. It's not like he's never done it. So that would be my only thing. I don't know, like, versus a guy that's been coaching receivers 15 plus years. But like I said, I'm not worried about that. I think we'll be just fine. I think it's an excellent hire that's going to pay off big time. We got to get out of here. Big thanks to everybody joining us. Chase Behind the Glass, all you listeners, Tide 100.9, YouTube, all that good stuff. Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.